Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're delighted to be joined by the CEO of Alien Metals, Bill Brody. Good. Bill, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
It's always a pleasure.
So, Bill, we're recording this podcast ahead of the UK Investor Magazine Summer Investor Evening, which we're holding here in London on Thursday. So we are actually going to include a link into the notes of this podcast for anybody that wants to attend. There's still a few tickets left for the event here in London, and it will also be broadcast virtually. So if you're not able to make it into London, do check that out. So today we're going to be discussing an overview of Alien Metals and looking at their key developments in recent months. So, Bill, before we get into it, please would you be able to give people that maybe aren't familiar with Alien Metals an overview of the company and what you guys do?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Jonathan. Well, so Alien Metals, we're obviously AIM-listed. I suppose junior is the right word to say, in the resource sector. We're sort of project generators, whereby, you know, the strategy is to pick up what we feel are great projects at early stage, often that we have the expertise and the team to develop, and in the commodities and the jurisdictions we feel are secure and have longevity, you know, have a future. So our key sort of three areas at the moment are the iron ore projects in Western Australia, in the Pilbara, the Money Elizabeth Hill sort of project, also in the Pilbara in Western Australia, which is a PGM, the Money historical resource, PGM resource, Elizabeth Hill, again, a historic silver mine, the highest grade silver mine in its day, from an underground development that was done, a limited amount of work that was done there. And then our third sort of suite of projects are in Mexico, where we have two silver, traditional sort of epithermal, very high grade silver systems in Mexico, and the Donovan 2, mainly copper gold project, all in the Zacatecas, sort of the core silver belt of Mexico.
Thank you very much. So, Bill, now let's start from the top and look at the jurisdictions that you're operating in. You obviously touched on there Mexico and Australia. I mean, for you, what drew you towards these particular two jurisdictions, and what do you see as you know, the uniqueness of these and the benefits for Alien Metals?
I suppose, you know, in the early days of Alien Metals, the Mexican assets were already in the portfolio. So the previous company that Alien came from had been working in Mexico for many years. They were already, as I say, in the portfolio. Mexico, from that region, the Zacatecas region, the Silver Belt, is, you know, it's the biggest silver producing area on the planet. So it's very much a great focus and a great location to be in. Mexico, regardless of what one possibly reads and sees, is a very much a mining country. Great people, great workforce. A lot of information you can draw on in terms of geology and targeting and people to use. So that's, you know, we maintain those and we're still working on those as a sort of essential. That was sort of the kickstart to Alien Metals. And then, you know, more recently with the acquisitions in Australia, that's really come about from looking at different projects, looking at opportunities. And coincidentally, you know, the two sort of key projects we now have are in Australia, which again, as I'm sure most people realize, is one of the, you know, one of the key mining jurisdictions on the planet. Very low risk in terms of jurisdiction, and again, a huge skilled workforce and consultants and contractor base to feed off to be able to advance these projects.
So, of course, Alien Metals has a diverse portfolio of assets and projects there, Bill. I mean, how are you going about funding these projects? And you know, how do you see this progressing into the future? Do you see sale of particular assets to fund other ones, or do you see bringing in partners? I mean, for investors that are looking at a pathway for Alien Metals, I mean, what would you sort of say to them in terms of what your plans are going forward?
Well, I think the key, in a way, is we get these assets into the company. We with careful consideration and technical due diligence. Then, at the moment we did a very successful fundraise at the end of last year, and we've been very careful with our funds to channel as much, the majority of funds into the ground, into the developing the projects, which I feel is what we've been doing. So obviously doing a phase of work, be it a drilling program, be it some geophysics, being desktop studies are very important, especially on new acquisitions where, for example, like Money, there's a huge amount of historical data that needs to be really sort of gone through and assessed and valued and sort of put it into the pot, so to speak, with the team, look at, right, what's been done, where are we going forward? Also, obviously, on the funding side, and as importantly on the iron ore, which has always been people have been concerned that taking on an iron ore project where traditionally iron ore is a large cost to bring into production, we're always talking to, we're open to find the best solution for the shareholders and possible future investors in terms of, would it be an asset sale, or would it be a joint venture, party coming in, be it on a financial basis or a financial and technical, that essentially from the board's point of view to ensure the best solution for each project as it gets to a certain level, and such as at the moment with the iron ore, we're working hard to bring it into production, the Hancock project, to bring it into production next year, but we're not averse to be talking, and we are talking to possible parties to support that, both financially and from an offtake point of view, whereby we secure, we secure future funding by having agreements in place. So, we have to be flexible. We have to see who's out there, who's looking for at us and at the projects and at the commodities. To basically bring get the right mix of support and the right funding to hopefully in our eyes and everyone else's eyes be spending the right amount of money at each phase of work to develop each project up to the next level.
Yeah, but what you said there, Bill, really stood out for me as being flexible, because the next point that we're going to move on to now is, obviously, that given the current environment, that flexibility is needed, looking at how things are in the junior explorers space. And that's one thing that I just want to touch on now, Bill, because obviously there's, looking at the overall markets and looking at the overall junior explorer sectors listed here in London. Obviously, there's been some challenges so far this year. I mean, what do you see, Bill, as the main challenges for the sector? And what are you doing to navigate yourself through this?
Well, yeah, look, it's a difficult, it's been a very turbulent year with the terrible state of affairs in Ukraine, causing a lot of uncertainty for all of us. And, we can only wish Ukrainians the best and hopefully see a light at the end of the tunnel sooner rather than later, but from our point of view, we yeah, we're constantly monitoring the, I suppose, the markets, but more importantly, we have confidence in the projects. So we are, you know, keeping our heads down, working hard in the background. Sometimes it's people, we're not maybe as visible as people might like, and we're not being able to produce huge amounts of updated news on you know, the next set of results, etc. But we're always monitoring the situation. But in a way, we're very secure with the commodities we have and the jurisdiction. So I mean, you know, the iron ore, the high grade DSO direct shipping ore product that we're working up at Hancock is a excuse me, is a key commodity for now and for the future, regardless of where the markets are, you know, if they're coming up and going down at the moment. That's a mainstay that we feel confident has longevity. The PGMs, you know, the platinum, the palladium, the rhodium, the gold at Money, which again is from a historical resource. You know, there's 2.5 million ounces proven pre-2012. JORC compliance, but we feel there's significant upside there with these sort of commodities are part of the future, the green future that we're all living in and are working towards. And then the silver, of course. Silver's an incredibly undervalued and under understood metal that is used in so many different key items and products that will always have a need going forward as well. So we're just being, you know, we're cognizant of the markets and everything else, but we're working you know, focusing on the right areas, on the right sort of commodities, and we're not sort of going gung-ho and just not, you know, not really looking at budgets and cost spends, but at the same time, I'd like to think we're being very controlled on our spend, but also on what each spend is producing in terms of next stage, you know, quality results for adding value to every project to take them up to the next level.
So you touched on, Bill, a little bit earlier on, you know, looking at Hancock and production next year, which of course is a major milestone for Alien Metal and your investors. But you know, what else would you point investors to keep an eye out for from Alien Metals in the coming 12 months?
Well, I suppose the coming 12 months, you know, Hancock is in the iron ore portfolio is the most advanced because we've been able to get on the ground, do some phases of drilling, produced our maiden resource September last year, and with some recent work, we're hoping to bring that up to the next level in the coming months, as well as all the background development work, mining license application, et cetera, et cetera. So that's running extremely well. But don't forget, we've got Brockman tenement to the west, which we're hoping to drill in the next couple of months, which is completely undrilled, and we feel has potential to have more high-grade material, iron ore, that is. And then we just acquired the Vivash Gorge project to just southeast of Brockman, which also has on its boundary a Fortescue deposit of, I think, 28 million tonnes at 58-59%, which looks like it runs into the Vivash Gorge ground, so we're very excited with that one. So they're very much on the iron ore. Is there's plenty, hopefully, of good new positive news to come. You know, adding potential resource tons to the current pot. But then with Money and Elizabeth Hill, there's a huge amount of work to be done there in terms of you know, updating the historic resource at Money with the platinum, the palladium, the, as I said, the rhodium, the gold. Also with Elizabeth Hill with the silver deposit, working that up to getting underground. That's one of the focuses we're doing at the moment. I'm quite excited. The next couple of weeks, our new headframe will be hopefully be put in place on the main shaft, and we can then you know, dewater and get back down into that mine and just see, you know, get a real better understanding of the potential there. But also significantly, that sort of project, there's indications, quite strong indications of a larger, lower grade but high volume nickel and copper mineralization associated with the geological intrusion of, that is, the money intrusion, that really hasn't been looked at in the past. And we're very excited about that one. So that's, you know, when we start testing that, we'll be, you know, there's lots to look at, expanding the, hopefully the platinum potential, but also looking at the nickel, the copper potential of the project. And then in Mexico, we did some drilling recently, some early drilling, maiden drilling on these projects. We're waiting on some results. Hopefully soon we'll have those to get, you know, get a buzz from those and start working up the next phase of work on those projects. So there's plenty there in the pipeline. As I say, you know, we have to be cognizant. We have to keep working, but you know, keep a little a weathered eye on the markets and on funding, so that we don't sort of get ourselves into a position where we're slightly cash strapped, which we're not at all at this stage, and just, you know, maximize all the spend in the field for sort of potential next stage, you know, moving all these projects up to the next level.
So, Bill, we've discussed, you know, the current market environment, and we've obviously just delved in there to your key projects and the milestones. But if we take a step back and look at a holistic view for Alien Metals going forward, I mean, what would you say your long-term plan is and what the vision is for the overall business, given everything that you're working on at the moment?
I suppose, even though, you know, obviously, Alien, where our core strategy is a sort of project development. So we, as I said at the beginning, we sort of, you know, picking up projects we feel are have great potential and getting them for a fair cost, but then adding significant value to them going forward. Obviously, with the Hancock project, you know, we're now looking to go into a mining scenario, which. But the project, the dynamics of the project, the fact that it's incredibly low capex to get into production, the high interest we've already had with several parties on the product, on obtaining the product as well. You know, I suppose my vision of Alien Metals would be in, say, in 18 months, 12 months time or 18 months time, we're producing iron ore. Therefore, we're creating our own cash flow, significant cash flow, even at current iron ore prices. But all we need is, you know, the project is not too sensitive to price fluctuations. So we'd be able to continue mining, making a profit, which we could then plow back into projects like Money that are significant projects. And we would be sort of self-funding to do such projects as Money and Elizabeth Hill, but also other have the opportunity then to go back out into the market and look for the next Hancock, the next Money, whatever it may be, because we'd have the capital to be able to really look at new things.
Indeed, sounds like an exciting 12 to 18 months ahead, Bill. But just to finish off now and to summarise for those listening, what would you say as the CEO of Alien Metals are the main reasons for investing in Alien Metals in your future?
I'd like to think the people in the team got some great, got a really good solid board with various experience that I think contributes really well to what we're trying to do, and hopefully that gives comfort to the investors. On a technical side, I've got some really good people now in Australia, which is obviously our key our key field work programs at the moment. So with Lloyd and Aaron in on the Iron Ore Company of Australia team leading the charge for the sort of development work there. With Bradley Toms recently joined us as our exploration manager in Perth. Great experience, really, you know, really making a difference already to how we're, you know, the quality of work we're doing and reporting and everything associated with that. Again, as I said earlier, the commodities we've got, I think they're all key commodities for the future. People might say, well, you know, palladium is used in catalytic converters, for example, and you know, everyone's trying to phase out you know, petrol vehicles in the next 5-10 years. But until that happens, there's going to be a lot more new cars built and a lot more requirement for these type of units. So and with the changing global dynamics of supply routes for such commodities, you know, we feel we've got there's good longevity and future in that commodity. The silver, as I said, is a solid foundation for a lot of manufacturing and PPE type products. So again, we're very comfortable with the silver and the jurisdictions. You know, Australia, well, it doesn't really get much better than that in terms of a mining jurisdiction or exploration jurisdiction, should I say. And Mexico as well. I mean, Mexico has got great history, and even with recent sort of talk and discussion, there's still a lot going on. There's still a lot to come from Mexico as well.
Fantastic. Well, Bill, thank you very much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for your time, Jonathan. And I'm looking forward to presenting tomorrow evening Hopefully I can sort of expand a little bit more on details on the projects.
Indeed, likewise.
Thursday.
Sorry, Thursday, right. Yes, Thursday, yeah. Thursday. Yes, likewise, looking forward to meeting you in person on Thursday, Bill. And if anybody wants to be there, as I said at the beginning, there's a handful of tickets left for the in-person event. So do check out the notes of this podcast where you can sign up. But if you're not able to meet us, it is going to be broadcast virtually. So do get yourself signed in for that, where you'll be also able to put your questions to Bill online. So hopefully see you all there. Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.